The pandemic's affected education for healthcare professionals and everyone all over the world. In June, the ACCME conducted a survey amongst our providers to get a better understanding of how the pandemic has affected their programs and how they expect it to affect their work in the future. Since CME providers have had to quickly shift to virtual learning formats to adjust to their new normal, some of the questions we want to ask today are, how can educators demonstrate the value of virtual education? We'll answer all that and more with Graham.
Welcome to Coffee with Graham. I'm your host, Melissa Simmons. This is a new podcast where we'll discuss different topics in healthcare with ACCME President and CEO, Dr. Graham McMahon. In each episode, we'll get a professional perspective on the latest issues in healthcare and find out how CME is shaping the future for clinicians and educators. Thanks for listening.
Graham, we're so happy to have you again today. Let's help us answer some of these questions. How is the pandemic affecting us?
Yeah, I'll certainly try. I think one of the things that's very true about the pandemic is how much uncertainty there is. But we're certainly adapting, we're certainly flexing, and we're trying to be responsive. And we can explore some of those and what we're hearing from the community in our conversation.
Great. Now, let's just get an idea. What are you hearing from your colleagues in the CME community about having to pivot to a virtual format? What are they saying? What works? What doesn't?
Well, we're seeing all sorts of different things. I think the first thing is we're hearing a lot about how people are feeling. There's a lot of uncertainty. There's a good deal of stress. There's a lot of fatigue. But there's also a commitment to step forward, make a difference, have impact. And there's also clear demonstration of responsiveness. Organizations of all types, big and small, healthcare facilities, major societies, have all had to transform their learning environments and transform their learning approach to engage the medical community, not only in learning how to be responsive to the COVID epidemic and how it's affecting their learners' patients, but also how they as organizations are flexing and responding to these unprecedented times.
So what are some of the challenges that come along with being completely remote? I mean, this is all brand new for us.
I think the challenges reach even higher than just being remote. I mean, the first thing is that some staff have been furloughed or repurposed, and that's created enormous challenges if you're short-staffed. But secondly, people are disconnected. They weren't as connected as they have been in the first few weeks and months of the pandemic, and it's taken a lot of adaptation to learn how to work collaboratively in a virtual environment and do so successfully. I think organizations that were responsible for retraining staff in healthcare facilities saw a lot of challenges in not being able to have those clinicians meet together in the same space or to even have committee meetings or planning activities with people together in the same space like they're used to. They've had to essentially abandon simulation-based training activities or training programs in the operating room or with standardized patients. They've had to rely on virtual education, electronic-based education, in new ways.
And with these new ways comes some skepticism. How exactly can providers convince their leadership that online training is actually valuable?
There's a couple of things in there. The first is that organizations have had to demonstrate their value by being flexible. Many organizations have had to negotiate meeting space, our out-of-meeting spaces, that hotel contracts. But in our survey, they tell us a lot about what they're planning and how they're shifting. They're planning surprisingly more activities in 21 than they were heretofore planning for for next year. They're also seeing increased engagement of their learners in these online environments. Clinicians seem more participatory and more actively exploring answers and talking with their colleagues. But I think there's great worry amongst these providers about margin and revenue and fees, and from that creates a good deal of uncertainty. In terms of demonstrating the value to leadership, it's about being responsive and being attentive to the needs of the community you serve. We've seen a lot of organizations have to retrain their healthcare teams of how to manage an ICU that was bursting at the seams with very sick patients with a disease that we didn't know how to manage before. And we've seen the value of that training and the competency and skill of those teams and the survival rates for patients with this disease over the last few weeks and months. So a lot has changed. It's been pretty straightforward to demonstrate the value of what's changed because it's getting engagement and it's getting participants. And you can see the results of that improvement on the outcomes in our healthcare environments.
And what would you say to leadership or faculty who are skeptical about the value of it?
I think they should just take a look and see as to what happens. And the question is not, can healthcare professionals learn? The answer to that is abundantly obvious. Of course they can learn. Secondly, it's not, can they learn when they're put in a virtual or online environment? The answer to that, of course, is also yes. We've seen that through didactics and through conversations and facilitated case solving in countless activities that preceded the pandemic, that physicians and other healthcare professionals learn very effectively in that environment. Are there ways to more efficiently deploy a learning experience to maximally take advantage of the physician or the healthcare professional's limited time? Well, that's where some really interesting educational design questions come out in terms of how much time you spend on didactics versus Q&A, how do you nurture small group work most effectively, how do you leverage conversation and interaction and relationship generation in a small group environment? Those are all really key questions right now that are being accelerated by the pandemic and education response to it.
And talk about motivating learners. I mean, you know, in this new online environment, we're in front of the computers and screens for hours on end. What's your advice for creating an engaging virtual format?
I think intentional instructional design is at the heart of it. We have to be attentive to the ability of our learner to engage and concentrate and have reminders and consolidation activities for what they're learning. That means that you have to design the program so that it allows relationships to form at the outset. So you allow small groups to introduce each other and stay together through an activity. Then you pair that with short bursts of intense but effective didactics, so they're learning something new. And then you give them the opportunity in small groups to explore the impact of what they've just learned and how they might practice or how they might think or problem solve in the future and learn from with each other in that now safe environment. I think longitudinally, that means putting activities as much as you can into a curriculum. So it's very clear to the clinician what their expectation for themselves is coming out of it at the end. You will achieve mastery in the following content area if you stick with us. And I think you also have to just pay attention to the fact that many clinicians find this type of learning pretty fatiguing. So building in more breaks than usual, building in more time for reflection and consolidation and rest are all approaches that educationalists have been deploying for the last few weeks.
And building on those small groups, what are some key ways to create a virtual community of practice?
Yeah, it's a good question. The first thing that crosses my mind is trust. Organizations have to establish trust and credibility for learners to feel safe there. But then secondly, you have to establish trust and safety between the attendees in these breakout groups so they're able to converse with each other and not feel like they're going to be judged or be put down if they don't know something or aren't able to problem solve in a particular way. I would say those are hard to create in terms of trust and easy to lose, but educational design can help organizations achieve both of those things by setting ground rules and certainly bringing credibility to the equation by demonstrating expertise very readily.
So how do we measure the impact of online learning?
Well, outcomes assessment and learning are unchanged. The human brain doesn't learn so differently in an online versus a live environment, for example. So it doesn't matter whether you're using Kirkpatrick levels or Moore's levels for satisfaction and participation and knows how, shows how, does, etc., all the way up to community impact or patient impact. I think the focus for virtual environments is helping them to use, in particular, breakout groups to deploy problem-solving exercises for these highly sophisticated professionals that we have the privilege to work with. And then looking at reflective statements, for example, having people type in what it is they're taking away from an exercise, feeding that back to them at a subsequent time period. Those types of outcome assessments are much more likely to be valuable than having people complete a multiple choice assessment, even if it's just two or three questions. I think the other opportunity that we have with online learning is the opportunity for longitudinal follow-up, because people are more accustomed to learning this way now and have grown accustomed to it. You have a better opportunity to repeatedly interact with the learner. That gives you more opportunity to look at and feedback what the outcome assessment is weeks after the activity is completed.
How can CME programs leverage online learning to support their organization's strategic goals?
Well, we've mentioned several of the things here in terms of moving towards curricula that are focused on shared outcome priorities, longitudinality to reinforce that learning so that it is durable and impactful and is making real change, using interprofessional continuing education to leverage and elevate team function to create an atmosphere where clinicians who would otherwise be isolated are creating more mutual support. That is a function of the convening power of education to bring together clinicians. And even if all they do is chat for a while, that convening function is pretty powerful. I think number four, thinking about the link between education and quality improvement, that continues to exist even if people aren't present in the typical healthcare environment and are providing more virtual care. There's still opportunity to improve quality and deliverables. And that is true for the new environment, just like it was for the environment that preceded the pandemic.
Can you see that leaders can utilize education as a vehicle to expand their clinicians' visions beyond their individual needs? What exactly do you mean by that?
Well, I'm a physician, and I think of when I came into medical school, I was driven by the mission to make an impact and to heal and to be part of people's life stories in ways that were made a difference. I think as clinicians spend many years in practice, sometimes they lose the connection with the mission. And convening people together in an organization, in an institution, in a society can reconnect them with their mission and can reconnect them with their values and remind them of the motivations that they hold intrinsically that help to keep them connected with their intellectual development and their content expertise. So I would say there is real opportunity to use education to connect clinicians with the mission and vision of the organizations with which they're connected, connect them with each other, give them insight into themselves, and all of us benefit from that improvement.
Well, how do you think online learning will have an impact on issues like team learning and clinician well-being, some of the reoccurring themes?
Yeah, it's a little more tricky to anticipate some of these because although it's clear that many clinicians are more accepting now of learning online in this format and therefore are more willing to potentially participate in environments that allow interprofessionalism and team-based learning, there's also increasing evidence of fatiguing and that the novelty of online education may wear off for some clinicians. And as a result, we may lose some opportunity. And certainly in the COVID crisis, a lot of clinicians are exceptionally busy, even busier, if you can imagine that, from where they were before. And if clinicians are exceptionally busy, they're very distracted and distractible, and keeping them attentive to their own professional development can be harder. But I think there are also opportunities. There is more need to connect. There are deeper connections. There's more interaction. There's more opportunity for reflection, more connection to value and mission than we've seen before in many of our educational experiences and activities. And I think those are some of the silver linings on the challenges we face in the new environment.
How can CME providers work with their leadership to create a virtual education strategic plan that addresses organizational strategies?
What comes to mind for me in that question is, first of all, do you have a strategic plan as an educational organization? If you don't, coming out of this call, I really hope that I can encourage you to build one because there's great value in that. The way in which you respond to this current crisis is to respond. If you put your head in the sand, you'll be lost, you'll be ignored, and the world will move on around you and potentially without you. In order to deliver value, deliver impact, to fulfill your own educational mission, you have to listen up, not be overwhelmed, and take action to be responsive. The good news is that in environments like this that are so chaotic and uncertain and intimidating, there is a real opportunity now you have the opportunity to, where you might have done grand rounds for 30, you know, put on a Zoom call for 60, where you've done a meeting of 500 in a big hotel complex. Well, now you have 2,500 suddenly joining your meetings because they can and they don't have to travel. It also means thinking strategically about where the real value for your organization is. And for many, they're finding that education, professional development is at the heart of how they identify themselves and how they deliver values to their community. So being flexible, being responsive, being visible, being meaningful, listening to your community, are all core elements of being strategic in response to a crisis like this and adapting for change.
All very important factors. So what do you see for the future of virtual education?
I certainly see more of it. I don't think the likelihood of us getting back to live learning environments is coming anytime soon. So I see more virtual education, more reliance and dependence on online learning in all of its forms, whether that's live interaction conversations with peers in small groups, whether that's games in a virtual environment of some sort. Whatever we're doing it increasingly separated physically from each other, but leveraging technology to learn more efficiently and effectively. I think we're going to see increasing ranges of tools and games, more personal control of both time and schedule of which they're going to interact with education. And I think increasingly with tracking, you're going to see more competency-based outcomes over time so that clinicians will have a target on a particular competency goal. You know, you'll have expertise or mastery in asthma care in the pediatric population at the end of this program. And they'll be focused on that and hopefully they will be achieving that too. So all sorts of things, but certainly more virtual education, more tracking, higher interaction, more tools and games, more control, and more higher level outcomes.
Definitely something to look forward to.
We have to find some silver linings in a very difficult and challenging environment for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. As an endocrinologist and as a leader, what lessons have you learned during these unprecedented and extraordinary times?
I think it's been very gratifying to see the strength and flexibility of the CME community. It's often taken for granted, but what you've seen organizations do in response to a crisis like that is they could have stuck their head in the sand and say, woe is us, we can't do our live learning environments, we're going to close our meetings and we'll come back next year. And I have not seen that happen. These organizations have instead flexed and changed and deployed a virtual learning environment and changed their meeting plan to longitudinal or episodic. They've recruited and trained their faculty to do new and interesting things in an online environment. They've created some games, interactions, and longitudinal curricula in their learning environments. They've essentially just done everything they possibly can to maintain an interaction relationship with their learner community and then to deliver value on that relationship by having had a trusted relationship with these folks. They're able now to customize and deploy technology to meet that trust with deliverable learning experiences. I think that's just fantastic. That's what you really hope to see in a community that you regulate, is that they are leveraging the permissive and flexible nature of the regulatory infrastructure that you're creating to allow themselves to function despite enormous crises.
And some final thoughts here, Graham. What's your advice to leaders, faculty, and learners during this time?
I think be open, be flexible, be experimental. Don't be afraid to try new things. Even though you think you learn best in one particular environment, may not be true. Maybe with new technology tools, new experiences, you'll actually be impressed and surprised how much you can get out of a different type of learning approach. Try a Facebook group, try a virtual problem-solving session, but also hold yourself accountable. Don't take your own capability as a learner for granted. Set your own curriculum and expectation for yourself. Set some reminders for yourself so that you're continuing to engage in your own professional development and taking it as seriously as your patients expect you to. I think with those, we can continue to improve. We may even improve more than we anticipated, and maybe that is the silver lining out of this pandemic for CME providers. The learning is different, but the learning is better.
Very well said. That was great. And I think, you know, hopefully we can continue to grow and continue to grow with the times.
And we're certainly trying to be responsive and supportive. We have a variety of resources on our COVID Educator Resources page. I encourage those who are listening to check it out to see what we're learning and what we're sharing and how we can help. And anyone can always check out info@accme.org if they have questions about something that they want to try. We're always here to help and answer your questions anytime we can. And above all, don't keep your head in the sand. Go out there, do awesome stuff, do great CME, go CME.
Awesome. Thanks, Graham.
If you enjoyed this conversation, we're always looking to extend the discussion on CME. Feel free to reach out with topics you'd like us to cover or let us know how you're addressing these issues in your organization. Thank you for listening and catch us on the next episode of Coffee with Graham.